So good afternoon, everybody. My name is Captain Sam Stevenson. As you all know, I'm the TCOM Comp Strat Officer. Here in the room with me, I've got Colonel Mark Gliston, the CEO of Weapons Training Battalion. And on the line, I've got Gunner Costa, who will also be one of our briefers today. So just a little bit of admin notes. This call is being recorded via DVIDS. So everything we say today is going to be on the record. For the media, when they are asking questions, please state your name and organization before asking your question. And for this particular brief, we're going to hold all questions to the end, because I would imagine that a lot of questions will be answered as the CO and Gunner go through this brief. So any up administrative questions, we'll turn this over to Colonel Mark Gliston. All right, sir, over to you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As Sam said, I'm Colonel Mark Gliston. I'm the commanding officer of Weapons Training Battalion here at Quantico. And one of my roles is a marksmanship proponent for the United States Marine Corps. And then I work directly for the commanding general of training command, Brigadier Morris. And then we ultimately work for Lieutenant General Caparata, that's training and education command. I'll be giving you this brief today. Also, John Costa, who's the director of our marksmanship program management section. You can see our agenda. We're going to go over a background of why the shift to ARQ, and then talk about what the ARQ itself is, get into some of the specifics, going to evaluate the Marines and sailors on here, and then we'll turn it over to an opportunity for questions for any of you. So if you transition to your slide two, please. I want to talk a bit about the background of why we went to the annual rifle qualification. So beginning with the very clear guidance from the SecDef, National Defense Strategy, as far as increasing quality, as was echoed by the Commandant's planning guidance that we've been using as far as making best use of our resources, making Marines the most that they can, and utilizing 21st century learning as much as possible. Also, marksmanship is fundamental to who we are as Marines. All of our doctrinal publications and our ethos say every Marine is a rifleman, and we're all capable of performing infantry tasks. And with our recent doctrinal pub, ONETAC-4, we're a force that needs to compete against peer adversaries and down from there. Additionally, Lieutenant Rada, the commanding general of Training and Education Command, he has put a very strong emphasis on that Training and Education Command does is to support the requirements and desire of the Fleet Marine Force. That'll come into play in this brief. And then I also like to highlight that the RQ course of fire is very mature at this point. Annual combat ship symposiums that have determined the need to update how we assess the marksmanship of Marines and sailors, and then we've tried it throughout the force. So it's something that's been around for several years and has been tested by Marines of both genders and then of MOSs across the MAGTAF. And last thing, we're going to phase the implementation. I'm going to talk about that. But it's very important to note that the traditional current Table 1 and 2 evaluation is going to be trained at entry-level training at the recruiting post and here at Quantico for our officer candidates. So that will not change. The first training and assessment will still be the Table 1 and 2. And we will evaluate Marines and sailors after that through ARQ. To slide three, please. Some key points I'd like to have you take away from this is that this came about as far as a few elements of it. So the Fleet Marine Force has consistently identified a requirements for less training time as far as the current ART is 2 calendar weeks. So the desire to have time back, and the ART itself really stems back to training methodologies and assessments to the early 1900s, and a desire is to reflect the current operating environment of placing shots where they need to be anatomically people and doing it in combat kit. Also, our operational analysis directorate conducted a capability-based assessment in 2018 that defined a lethality gap of Marines and small arms, specifically three things. We have problems hitting targets that are moving. We have problem hitting moving targets, and also that we need to hit a human target in very specific areas to incapacitate that. And then, so what we've done with this, we came up with a course of fire that gives time back to commanders. It's conducted in three trainings, and then we do have a prior training phase that commanders use as little or as much as they want to, and then they'll also be able to look at Marine sailors' performance in MCTIMS and be able to judge where they need to spend their time on training and where they can conserve time. Like we said as well, we're trying to replicate a operational environment where Marines are wearing their kits and they have to hit a human size and shape target in an area going to lethal effects on it. We've also changed it from ART, as ART was cumulative as far as it was a 2, 3, and 500 yard line assessment, and how we've changed that is more like the combat fitness test or physical fitness test, where it is cumulative, but you do have to pass each event as well. So with a PFT, you do have to get overall score, but you do have to get a minimum score in, for instance, pull-ups to be able to pass as well. And then we've shifted the target down to a human target, and we do need to strike that in what have been identified by studies as lethality zones, and that's where we'll be assessing and rewarding the Marines' ability to do that. Also, we are allowing to use different elements of artificial support. So through the order that's being updated and the MAR admin that is supposed to be released today, we are allowing them to use things that are issued as far as bipods being able to press their magazines on the deck or use items for support. And for support, we are having them have a barricade, which is a wall-like structure at the 100 and 200 yard lines. And Marines can choose their positions behind those, and they can choose to use those for as much support as they desire or to simply forego the use of that. Okay, transitioning to slide 4, we're going to talk about course of fire overview, and there's two portions of that, destroy drill and a drills and a destroy. And I'm going to turn this over at this point to Gunnar Costa, who will cover the specifics course of fire. Over.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Gunnar Costa here. Let me first apologize for my extremely thick Boston accent. Hopefully you all have the subtitles running in front of you and you can understand me. With that said, as pointed out, there are two portions to the course of fire. There's a drill portion, destroy portion. Total days of firing is 3 days. The first day we're referring to as a holds day. The purpose of that day is for the Marines to zero as well as to determine the point of aim on the target using the optic ratio or a scope. Days 2 and 3, pre-qual and qual, respectively. The fundamental differences with days 2 and 3 is we have the Marines engage from far to near, and again to foster a more offensive mindset. As if they're closing in on the enemy targets. The distances of the course of fire range from 15 yards all the way to 500 yards, and you have stationary targets as well as moving targets. And in terms of the Marines moving, you have one drill where the Marines are actually firing on the move. So just to break this down further, you can see up in the slide deck in the destroys, that goes 500 all the way down to 25 yards. And then for the drills, you have three types of drills from 25 to 15. The biggest difference between destroys and drills, they both require lethal shots, as the CO just spoke to. I'll get into that in the next slide in a minute. But drills also require to be executed properly. So, for example, you have a failure to stop drill. A failure to stop is you put two rounds to the killing zone in the chest and one to the killing zone in the face. So not only did all your rounds hit the killing zones, but they hit the proper ones in the proper sequence. Fundamental difference with them. So, afforded to the Marines in terms of positions. So if you note in the slide, for an example, on, say, pre-qual and qual day on the destroys, you have 300-yard control path, standing, knee, prone. They can choose. They can shoot in any of those positions that they decide. Also includes for the back. They don't have to use the barricades at the one and the two. They can. We recommend it. But they can shoot in the offhand if they want to. And then, obviously, as the CO said, in the positions, you can go down to the prone. You can use a day pack. You can use issued bipods, the magazine on the deck. So it's more the shooter has more realistic options afforded to them. Slide. Okay, we should be looking at slide five right now. For the classifications, out of the last Combat Marksmanship Symposium, a fundamental change to how we classify shooters. Classification names are the same, so expert, sharpshooter, and marksman, but those were tied to point scale on the old ART Table 1 Alpha Table 2 classifier. It wasn't defined by capability. The Combat Marksmanship Symposium, we took a stab at that and defined what we think it means, what an expert, a sharpshooter can do, and a marksman can do. So with that in mind, that is how determining the scoring. So if you look at a marksman, lethal, but he's probably he's most lethal, active, whereas you have an expert, that Marine is able to kill a lot of enemy on his own. That's how we ended up determining these values. The targets themselves, again, as the CO pointed out, it's a realistic human target. The scoring zones were based off of lethality zones determined in that marksmanship lethality CBA. So if you look at that picture there for the targets, it just takes the lethality zone, which is almost like that home looking shape, and then that coffin shape for the face. Those zones line up anatomically to what would be classified as a severe, critical, or maximal injury. Sustaining an injury to those areas, the probability of survival just plummets. And again, we are looking for lethality here. Anything outside of the zones, one could suggest that it's not a physiological stop. At that point, it may be psychological. In combat conditions, adrenaline flowing and whatnot, psychological stops may not help you. So meaning shooting a guy in the arm, it may not stop him. May do absolutely nothing. So when the study is determined, severe, critical, maximal, that's where you got to put the rounds in to actually eliminate a threat. The scoring itself, again, since there's two portions, you have two sets of scoring. So what you have for the destroys, out of 50 exposures on the destroy side, the minimum that you're looking to get is 15. That gets you in the mark. And obviously you can read 15 to 30, 31 to 42 would be for sharpshooter, 43 to 50 would be for expert. But that's coupled with your drill score. So for the drills, there's three types of with 10 presentations. So in order to get a mark, they're getting 15 to 30 on the side, at least one successful completion of any drill type. For sharpshooter, they're going to have to get one successful completion in two different drill types. And then they need one successful completion in each drill type. So for expert, they got to do the failure to stop, one failure to stop. They got to do one failure to stop moving. And they have to do one box, as we previously discussed. Slide. Oh, I'm sorry. If we stay on that slide, I'm sorry, slide five. The targets themselves, I noticed drill targets. They're basically the scoring zones are the same. only real difference is with the destroy target, it has an outer ring. It was developed for data collection during testing, and we decided to retain it. But they are essentially the same targets. The drill target is fitted to be able to be glued on an echo silhouette. The mover target, that remains the same for current moving targets that are table two. So there's no change on that. That's simply you fit echo silhouette down to 12 inches wide. So it's 12 inches by 40 inches tall. Slide. Turn it over for the implementation plan. Back to Colonel Liston. Over.
Okay, thanks, John. This is Colonel again on slide six. And implementation plan, we came up with a three plan of completion of the combat marksmanship symposium. And so phase one, that's one where we had a very deliberate process leaving the symposium, knowing what we were doing with the course of fire, and then determining how best to ensure that each post and station were set up for success for training and evaluating Marines and sailors in this course of fire. And so really we're coming up on phase two now, which is where I send Marines from our marksmanship training company here that are fully qualified in this to train the trainers on those different sites. So coming up here, 12 March, we will go to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, to the Stone Bay Rifle Range Complex, and that's where we'll train all 2MEF, all Marines that will be training and evaluating Marines within the Carolinas. So the Marines from Parris Island and the air station, and then up at Cherry Point and at Camp Lejeune, no collapse to Stone Bay, where we'll do a train the trainer and certify those guys to actually be familiar with and be able to run and conduct those ranges. And then we will transition to Camp Pendleton, California, 22 to 26 March, where we'll do it at Edson Range. And then that will service all the folks in one MEF and the supporting posts and stations that are there. And then finally, we'll have one here Monaco in June, which will be basically a cleanup of that weren't able to attend the fire or with permanent change of station that are coming in. And then also we will look at and we're looking at our program of instruction of how we train our combat marksmanship coach and our combat marksmanship trainers. So those are the folks that will set the Marines up for success and then coach them along the actual course of fire itself. So this is a fundamental shift from the way we are having coaches conduct themselves now. Now it's very prescriptive. There's a lot of regulations on how Marines can use things for support or not use things for support, and fundamentals of positions. This is much more, I look at it as a permissive environment where we give them their left and right have the latitude to engage the targets as they would in combat, what they have issued available to them. And then so we're going to set those guys up, make sure that those coaches and the trainers course are modified to support the ARQ. And once that we have the results of those, so we know exactly what it takes to create a coach and a trainer, and that the stations have the train the trainer, then they can transition to training and evaluating sailors in the ARQ. For active duty forces, all will have transitions to the ARQ no later than October 1st of this year. And then for the reserve force, we understand that they've had challenges due to the dispersion and of a lot of the different stations on, and they will transition during FY22. Next and last slide, seven. So I'll open up to any questions for Gunnar Costa, myself, and also sure that we do have subject matter experts from Manpower, Reserve Affairs, and MCTIFs available. Over to you for questions. Over.
Hey, so now it's for any of the media on board who want to, you know, ask any questions. We are here to answer them because I know you just got a lot of information. So we're standing by over here.
So I'd like to ask a question. Matthew Cox from military.com. Could you go over, you know, you talk about drills and you have to, you know, to gain marksman, sharpshooter, expert, you talked about how you have to do on the drills, you know, at least one drill, or at least, can you name the drills that you have to do just as far as, you know, and just give a brief description of each then?
Sure. Gonna cost you here. So for the drills, and just for you, if you pop over to slide four, your drills, you have a...
Four.
Yeah, slide four. Pop over to there, and you've got a 25-yard failure to stop drill. So a failure to stop drill will be, you know, given the command, you got to take two shots to the chest and one to the face, which is mimicking, again, maybe enemy combatant wearing body armor. So the two shots to the chest, absorbed it. It took it like a champ, and so you got to put one in the brain box to draw. The next one would be the 25-yard box drill. And so that's when you have two targets in front of you, and you're going to – it's almost a failure to stop drill in the sense that you engage both of them with three rounds, but you would put two to the chest on the first target, two to the chest on the second target, one to the brain box on the second target, come back over to the first one to put another one in the brain box. So it's essentially – it's a failure to stop drill with two targets is how you have to think of it. The sequence is just slightly different, right? And then the third drill is your 20-yard failure to stop while moving. It's the failure to stop drill while the Marine is walking. So to advance, and then they'll be given a command for the target, and while they're moving towards the target, two to the chest, one in the face. Does that answer your question, sir?
That helps a lot. Thank you very much. And just one quick follow-up. You know, I understand about the lethality zones and the chest and the head. There's been a lot of going up against predators, China and Russia. Body armor has been around for a long time, body armor technology. I don't really know what the Chinese and the Russians have. Modern body armor is not that difficult to get with rifle plates, you know, as well as soft armor protection. What about forces that have, equal, performance body armor? There's been a lot of talk in the past about the M855A1 round not being able to penetrate modern body armor blades. So could you speak to that? Anything that you've thought of? I'm sure you have. And is that something that's a commander's say, well, we're going to change up since this is what we're facing?
So I would tell you, so there's a couple, in relation to marksmanship, there's two facets to it, right, for the conversation.
Sure.
There's the training facet, which is really what we're getting after on this one, right? So you can aim for the zone and actually hit it. But then there's the facet that would be equipment-centric. So that's when you start getting to that realm of, like, what firearm are we using, what type of ammunition are we using, what muzzle velocities are you getting, what is that projectile comprised of. That part of the conversation, that would be kind of outside of our area here, because, again, that's an equipment issue.
Okay. All right. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Chad, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you. Chad Garland here with Stars and Stripes. There was some reporting a couple months back that Marines should expect it'll be harder to qualify as expert or fewer people will qualify as expert. I'm wondering if there's been any data from the testing that indicates kind of, you know, percentage of Marines are likely, you know, to qualify at each level and how that compares to the current?
Yeah, there is data on that. What I can, on the high end, what most people care about, the current rates for expat, current rates is 65%. ARQ, we're anticipating 6% to be expats. The UNC rate for ARQ, we're anticipating to be around 9%. So what I can tell you is testing, there's a few variables, ART, the rate is roughly 6%, right?
Wait, so, I'm sorry. Can you say that one more time then?
Current rates for table 1 alpha and table 2, current expert rate is approximately 65%.
65.
Current UNC rate in table 1 alpha and table 2 is approximately 6%. So the high and the low. ARQ, probabilistically, we're determining that XBIT is going to be approximately 6%, and UNC will be approximately 9%. There's a few things
UNC,
that we...
Unqualified? What is UNC?
I'm sorry, unqualified. Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So there's a few variables that we have to, you know, point out here when we look at those numbers. Because when you just look at those numbers, it's like expert rates are going to drop and UNCs increase and all that. Well, testing, there was no chance for requalification. So testing, they just showed up and shot at once, and that was it. Well, they went through the course of fire, and that was it. So no requals. So that's one that obviously when we implement this, Marines are going to be afforded the opportunity to requalify like they currently are. Secondly, there was no prep training. Like I said, for the testing, they showed up, they get their brief, course of fire brief, and they win it for testing. That's obviously not going to be the case when we implement. On the MPMS, I have a little bit of classes and recommendations, as the colonel spoke to, that will be affordable to coaches and trainers to train before to actual live fire ARQ. The third variable is just it's just familiarity. So that definitely didn't exist in testing. The Marines would show up, and it's, again, they just got their brief, and they went through it. So you would generally say there was probably a level of uncomfortableness, right, with the Marines because they didn't. It was their first time doing it. They didn't know. Over time, worked that out. So I see those numbers adjusting in a positive direction. And then one other point to consider is, again, this course of fire, Table 1 Alpha and Table 2, we're talking from the 1900s. Nothing was ever updated with the advent of the RCO. And that's something key for everyone to really understand. That was a course of fire designed for iron sights and gave a four-power optic. So when we sit there and say 65%, approximately 65% expert rates, we really got to consider how the equipment out, and maybe we should have probably increased some standards a while ago, if that makes sense. Over.
Yeah. Can I have one quick follow-up on that?
Absolutely. Go for it.
So when we're talking about expert and everything, one thing that was unclear for me from the slide was, say somebody qualifies on the destroy level of expert, but they don't qualify on the drills as an expert. But they qualify sharpshooter on the drills. Does that mean they're a sharpshooter, or how do those reconcile?
Yeah, so we have a scoring conversion shot that shows you. In the exact example that you just gave, they would qualify as sharpshooter. So the way you have to look at the scores, it's going to be and, right? So in order to attain, let's say, it doesn't matter, let's say marksman. In order to attain marksman, you have to kill a minimum of 15 destroy and drill properly. If you kill 15 destroys and you don't execute any of the drills properly, that's you have unqualified in the drill portion. And they'll basically have to requalify just on that drill portion. They would retain their destroy portion score and requal on the drill. Does that clear it up?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Thanks.
Any other questions from media?
Yeah, is it Todd Stiles from the Marine Corps Times? Can you hear me?
Yep, Todd, we got you. Thanks.
Okay. Hey, guys, thanks for your time. So I just wanted to – I had a number of questions, but I'll start with some simple stuff. I believe with the pilot program that before it launched last year, night score was part of this. I don't see night fire mentioned. I just want to make sure I'm tracking. Was that retained or was that changed? Are we still doing scores in the tables or not?
Yeah, again, Gunnar Costa here. Night fire during the Combat Marksmanship Symposium when we were digesting all the testing data, determined to eliminate the night fire for right now. What we want to do is further study to the feasibility of supporting night fire across the force, if the appetite is there, as well as equipment. If to turn that on right now, literally, if we were to turn that on tomorrow, we know that there is a large amount of units in the Corps that do not have night vision equipment because their primary missions don't require it. So to turn that on, it may create an artificial requirement for units to like get MBGs across the board, and which may or may not be valid. Makes sense. So no, you didn't miss anything. We thought through it and we omitted it for right now. Over.
And Todd, this is Colonel. Just amplify Gunner's comments there. So yeah, great question as far as fire. And you know, we did want to evaluate Marines at night, but we did take act of this is a total force for active duty reserve, and then honestly, the Marines across, not every Marine has a optic issued to them, optic meaning a night vision device, and then there's a lot more than that as well as far as, we looked at ways, do the mark units have those on hand, and then that becomes a facilities issue and also a manpower issue as far as we have to have folks that maintain those optics. Them out, and then it is increasing quite the overall acquisition objective of night vision devices in the Marine Corps. So as we left the symposium, we do value Marines and sailors to be able to recognize and engage targets at night, but with the material constraints and then the associated with that, in order to get this program going across the force, we have a night course of fire that is available for units, but we are not going to evaluate simply due to the lack of accessibility of this equipment throughout the Marine Corps.
Roger that. And I know that's probably pre-decisional at this point, but it is possible it could be added in the future. I mean, possibility given that there's been some evaluation.
Yeah, exactly, Todd. We would love to do that, but it's an equipment and material and manpower thing that would, if we didn't adopt this, then we would be doing another year of assessing ARQ instead of implementing it. Over.
Roger. A follow-up question also related to gear. So I understand you, the SISCOM, you've started fielding the squad common optic with the, I think, double the magnification of the RCO, I believe, last month. So the pooling out to recon and infantry units. So I guess a question of fairness, you know, if I'm lucky enough to be in a unit to get a brand new SCO with better accuracy, you know, range and whatnot, am I going to be doing my ARQ SCO that I'm issued while the unit's still using the RCO? Is there an issue there with scoring, like cutting scores and things like that?
So Gunnar Costa here. I definitely would throw it to my brethren in the MNRA for any comments. But this question came up when the RCO came out. SIH versus an RCO. And again, it's coming up now with the advent of the SCO. So no, there's no different scoring or anything like that. And direct answer to your question. But why it's never been a problem, does like Marines only compete against like Marines for promotion? So what I'm getting at is when you have the Marine that's, you know, the admin Marine that's an 01, PFC Smith is not in competition against PFC, who's an 0311 for promotion. It's not something that's going to, cause an issue. Furthermore, the classifications, the difference between marksman, sharpshooter, expert, it's not something to be a massive make or break in the Marine's career. But with that said, I'd like to open it up to MNRA for any clarifications on that issue. Over.
Yeah, so just to bring it back then, if nothing from MRA, so Colonel, listen, just to echo Gunner's comments, as far as people aren't evaluated against others outside of their MOS, so the table of equipment is the same for the infantry units, so they'll be evaluated against themselves, and then this is part of the ARQ concept of we are training and evaluating Marines' abilities to engage a human target here with the equipment that will put them on the field. So give them unfair advantage against their peers, but it does give them, you know, we're giving them great weapons, great optics, and then we're seeing how they're doing with it out on the rifle range. Over.
Roger. Roger, Todd again. I have a couple more questions, but I already had my two, so I could throw it back to the other guy and then come back around. But I do have additional questions depending on what Matt and the other gentleman have.
I have another question. Yeah, I have another question. This is Matt from military. Thanks, Todd. Can you talk a little bit about the move? It's just to give a little description on what the moving targets do as far as how they move, or, you know, they just move from side to side, over what span of distance, that kind of stuff.
I can speak to that. Basically, what you'll see is, and it's like the standard mover, it's a current mover that's used in Table 2. The target goes up, and so if you look at the span of two target carriages, Gunnery Sergeant Blake Knott, he's in the room right now for the exact distance, but if you start in your target, say, you know, target point one, it's going to go up from the shooter's perspective on the left side of that target point, and then it moves all the way to the right side of the target point of target point two. And then it'll come back up and go in the opposite direction. Distance-wise, Gunny Blignot, what is that approximately?
Sure, Gunny Blignot here. It's approximately 12 distance between the two carriage lengths. The Marine covers roughly about 4 miles, 4 to 6 miles. The target moves from left to right and then right to left.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's executed at the standard cadence pace. Over.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll ask Todd again from Marine Corps Times. Just back to the pilot real quick. You mentioned for the time being dropping the night fire. Just to clear up anything, was there anything else that was included in the pilot that's been removed or anything added from what was originally reported as the pilot launched in 2020?
Gunner Costa here. We dropped the night, we adjusted the iterations, the number of iterations. They generally increased for how many iterations the online that they're doing. Also, we adjusted the scoring, again, based off of how we defined marksman, sharpshooter, expert.
One clarification from Colonel Liston here is also we had Marines do this qualification in the field protective mask, known as a gas mask. And so, again, due to equipment, not every Marine has that. And then the same issues with the night. So that was another efficiency in order to make this happen, is we deleted the use of the field protective mask. Over.
Roger that. And as far as another question, but same area, the the reduction to the three training days, you had mentioned a lot of, you know, materials, opportunities for preparation for this three training day. And as you mentioned at the outset of the slide, it frees up the going from the 2 weeks, you know, of training and drills and snapping in and all that to down to 3 days. Are you anticipating that commanders will be like utilizing like a shortened version of this to prep people before going for qualification, or is it kind of expected that, you know, they'll get their kind of like run through of this and then every year just going on the calendar and that's it? Like, I mean, how much do you anticipate commanders using the additional training time to kind of prep for this on their own?
I definitely anticipate unit command is to doing prep training time. I think that you can almost look at it again, kind of like the PFT CFT. Like commanders have PT programs that they've generally developed on their own. The Marine Corps has given them resources to do that, and they run their Marines through PT up to, you know, PT and the CFT. But I don't. I definitely think that units are going to utilize some sort of prep training and classes and eventually the ISMIT to help Marines to go to AIQ. I don't see units large just showing up for AIQ. I do think you have some that may do that, and it's based off the command information of his Marines. They may be enough along in marksmanship that they could just do that. They could show up and qualify in AIQ and be totally fine. But the key point is the resources are going to be made available, and the commanders can build the training plans with the recommendations we've given as they see fit. Over.
Yeah, just to build on that, Colonel, listen here again.
Go ahead.
If I could, Colonel, listen here again. So just to build on that, as a commander, they will see the windows that they are scheduled for the ARQ. The ranges for, and then yes, as part of their training, which will be reflected in their annual training plans, they do need to focus on this for a specific amount of time. But with the amount of feedback that we will gather on Marines once they shoot this and it's entered into MCTIMS, they'll be able to look at how much time that they need or want to invest, and then create appropriately. So maybe they're spending more time on listing, time on Costa, or more time on listing at 500 and more time on Costa at the 200. But really it gives them that latitude that now, you know, we have a marksmanship order that says commanders shall this. And then what we're doing is saying this is your evaluation, and that we've got training plans that will set you up for success. Use them as little or as much as you want, in keeping with the Commandant's planning guidance of empowering commanders to weight their resources and use their time appropriately.
Roger, thanks. I think the Gunner mentioned the ISMIS. Is there already a simulation created for this for those types of drills, or is that still being developed?
It's going to cost a hair. Basically, that's still being developed. We're in discussions and traces to move forward and get those scenarios, get the software updated with the AIQ scenarios. Over.
Roger. Separately, I know this is we're all focused like right on the rifle qual and everything, but it's just a slightly forward just a little bit. Over the last like 2 years or so, the Army's, you know, kind of done an overhaul of individual weapons training. And built that flow, kind of had that flow out into crew serve weapons training as well. Is there any beginning discussions or work in terms of modifying or adjusting, you know, crew serve weapons, you know, qualifications training for those Marines who that's their primary weapon or their units rely on this, like training weapons battalions? I mean, weapons company. Sorry.
From
Todd, this is Colonel Lista here, and say yeah. That's a different command that does. So we are.
Oh, okay.
We are specifically marksmanship with the qualifications with a service rifle and the service pistol are the
right.
Two marksmanship programs that we manage. But great question, over. Hey, Gunner, I don't know if you have anything to flesh that out with.
No, sir. I took the words out of my mouth. Yep. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Any other questions from the group?
I just have one more, Matt Cox from Military.com. So is there a, you went through the scheduling, about the trainers, train the trainers. Is there a market call to say, all right, well, Marine units now will start, you know, after you get the train to, you know, the train trainer program done, you know, Marine units will start doing this as of this date. You have that? You might have already said it. I might have missed it.
Yes, sir.
Go, Gunner.
Sir, the no later than date back forces is going to be October 1 of 2021.
Okay.
That's the line in the sand where we're going to be changed over again outside of entry level training. So
right.
Active duty, the you know terminology like Marine Forces, we'll be turned over to AIQ on 1 October 2021.
That's when they begin. That's when they have to begin doing, it, or have to have it on their training schedule.
Correct, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that's a no later that date, and that's captured on your slide 6. Over.
All right. Thanks very much.
So I just want to clarify. So they have to have scheduled out, trainers ready in place by October 1st. Not everybody has to have to need to go out on AIQ by October 1st. Like, is that? Am I understanding that?
That's
John
correct. Like,
right. That's correct.
Okay. Okay. So then for score. For promotion purposes, that is going to be taken into account after October 1st, I assume.
Don Acosta here. Former marksmanship training units, if the conditions are met, they can run it before October 1st. That can happen. And again, we've developed along with McAtea, a scoring conversion. So things are developing, right? Like McTim's will reflect you, and you'll be able to enter in the exact AIQ. If there's units that are running it sooner, they can use a score version, so it doesn't, you know, it'll actually speak language, if that makes sense. But again, that can happen. October 1st is just that you have to by this date. But if the conditions are met, whereas the former marksmanship training units have received training from us how to run AIQ, they will then in turn train local units, those coaches and trainers, on how to prepare for AIQ. And we'll look at our coaches' course and our trainer courses curriculum to make sure AIQ is captured properly. Once those conditions are met, you can start to see AIQ happening over instead of table 1 alpha and table 2. Does that answer your question, sir?
Right. So I'm just speaking like straight to the audience. If I'm a Lance Corporal in the fleet, you know, October 2nd moving forward, my inter-alpha call is going to be an AIQ. But if I'm in a unit, it could happen before then, depending on the unit I'm in. But it's definitely, you know, October 2nd moving forward, I'm shooting my inter-alpha call.
Sure.
Follow up on that just a minute? How often do Marines qualify?
So, right, it's tied fiscal year. So, October 1st, out of the Marine Corps fiscal year. And it's once for that fiscal annual year over.
Okay, so, all right. So if a Marine qualified at the end of, qualified before, you know, or just recently, I mean, like maybe, you know, well, you want to talk to everyone. But they could be using ART then all the way up to, you know, through the summer then, right? So they would,
sure.
they would have another qualify then, right?
That's right.
Okay. And one other follow-up is Marines and sailors, so is that just sailors that are assigned to units?
That's right, sir. So any that if they qualify, you utilize an AIT. Anyone who needs to qualify with AIT is going to be qualifying with AIQ no later than October.
And that would be like corpsmen then, or?
That's right, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Just kind of a random, sorry, Todd again, Marine Corps Task, just a random kind of curiosity question. Did you see any differences in Marines shooting the M27 versus those shooting the M4 or M4A1?
Gunner Costa here. To put it, just to give an oversimplification, not significantly. That's what I would tell you.
Okay.
It wasn't significant difference. All weapon systems we used, M16s, RCOs, M4s, M27s. It wasn't a massive difference that jumped out at you.
Roger, just curious.
All right, gentlemen, any other questions for Christian or Gunner or the team here?
Just you're going to send out names and titles so we have correct spellings and everything, correct, Cassie? Or?
Absolutely. I'll follow up. The sure. CEO and Gunner, their spellings and titles are on the title slide of the media brief, but if you need anybody else.
Oh, okay, I see him now. I see him now.
Hey, we're here for you, Todd. Don't worry.
I have a question. Do you have images of the three targets?
Absolutely. We can get you that, definitely.
Can you get them in high res?
So we got targets on slide 5 that you can – I think it's in a PowerPoint.
I can't pull them from a PowerPoint. I need a JPEG. Can you do that?
I can work with Gunner and get you this.
Thank you very much.
I'd also like those. If you don't mind, if you include me too, please.
Easy day.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, anything else? I'll leave it for, one more question, and then we'll –
I think that's it for me.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Hey, gentlemen, just one quick update on the movers, just for the 100 and the 200. For both of them, both of them are 8 seconds that the target's going to be up. And then just to update from my previous statements, it's 16 feet because you have to account for the distance between the two carriage lengths and 4 miles per hour.
Thank you.
And that was Gunnery Sergeant Blignot, his title after this. Proper spelling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. Looking forward to your articles coming out here soon. And we'll get you those target JPEGs here shortly. All right, thanks, everybody. Out here from Web.